Good morning. Find your way in and take your seat. It's good to hear all this fellowship. I can't tell you how quiet it was during COVID in this room on a Sunday morning. It was depressing. So, Lord willing, we're past that, and we hope we don't ever go back. I thought before we enter into the worship services this morning, we might consider something from Matthew chapter 9 in verse 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're our honored guest. We're glad that you're here. If we can be of assistance to you while you're in our area, then by all means, we would like to help you if we can. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. That's the same message today. If you haven't done that, the arrangements have been made, and we can accommodate you in putting on Christ in baptism today, and we'd be more than happy to talk with you about that. Let's enter into worship.
Good morning, everyone. Please do not attempt to adjust your television sets. I am, in fact, not Phil Gillum. So, if convenient, please stand and join me in singing our first hymn, hymn number 121.
Thank you. Please be seated. Our next hymn will be hymn number 528. Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 848.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, how indeed thankful we are that we serve a living Savior and that your Son, our Redeemer, is alive today. And Lord, we're very thankful for this church, this group of sinners that has been redeemed, that we can gather together and we can sing about you and give glory to you and learn about you. And Lord, that we can bear each other's burdens and pray together. And Lord, just thank you for this church, this group of believers. And Lord, for each of us who is dealing with different things, whether it's sin and temptations, or whether it's sickness and illness and physical troubles, whether it's upcoming travels or financial difficulties, whatever the things are, Lord, we give all of those things to you right now. And we pray for your blessings on each of us in the things that we need from you. And we ask that we would look to one another as well for strength and encouragement, and help each of us, Lord, to be your hands and your feet as we encourage others. Bless us, Lord, during this time. Help us to devote our thoughts and our efforts to you, and to do that more and more every day. Bless us during this time, Lord, and in your Son's name. Amen.
Excuse me. Before we have the scripture reading in today's lesson, we'll be singing hymn number 92. 92.
For our scripture reading today and throughout the sermon lesson, if you'll open your Bibles, we'll be turning to Matthew 18, 23 through 25. If you have children you'd like to take to children's training class, now would be excellent time to do that. It's out the auditorium doors to the right. Now, as you get turned in your Bibles, I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Again, that's Matthew 18, 23 through 25. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made.
Glorious things are spoken of Zion. And if you didn't notice in that song, Zion is referring to the church that Jesus Christ died for and established on the day of Pentecost. And that means that you and I are part of something that is glorious. Sometimes we don't look at it that way. We think, is it time to go again? Do we really need to go and be a part of that again? And yet, let's remember, this is a glorious institution. To be part of the saved, to be part of that number that makes a difference in this world for good. And look at all the good that comes out of this congregation and then all of the congregations all throughout the world. What a blessing. So God has given us this real blessing of being able to be a part of Zion and of being part of his kingdom. And we're glad for him. He's given us this, and we want to worship him. We want to honor him. And we want to learn more about his will. We're so glad that you're with us today. Glad you're here with us. And if you're visiting with us, welcome especially. I've already met one fellow that has just moved here from Alaska. He said, I've had enough of the cold weather. I want to get down here. And so he and his family have moved down this way. And others, I've probably not met all of our visitors today. I want to. So if you're visiting with us, give us a chance to get to know you. And come back anytime. We want you to be a part of our family here if you don't already have a family. But so glad that you're with us, all of our members. We're really glad that you're here as well. All of you who are joining us online, glad that you are joining us as well. And I do hope you'll come back and join us this evening at 6 o'clock. At that time, we're gonna be looking at a lesson. And I'm trying to remember now what it's about. I've got it prepared, it's ready to go, but it's going to be a good one, I assure you of that. So, the mystery lesson will be revealed tonight at 6 o'clock, so come back and join us for that. Of course, we know that there are those among us that their hearts are not as light, and I'm thinking especially this morning of Brenda McInnes and all of her family who are now mourning the passing of her father, Ralph Lister. We all knew Ralph. He worshiped with us for many years. And what a pleasant and generous man he was, always smiling and laughing, and what a work ethic he had. And so we're praying for the comfort of God to be upon Brenda and all of her family. The funeral will be Tuesday. The details will be announced after the close of our service. They're also in daily focus. So do remember the family of Ralph Lister. Also want to report that Jim Bob Moore is home now. He was in the hospital for two or three nights, but things are better. And Linda sent a text this morning, said to thank everyone for their prayers, their encouragement, and everything is going a lot better. They do appreciate, though, so much your concern. And tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, downstairs, we're going to have our monthly 55 plus dinner. If you're 55 years or older, we want you to come and be a part of that. It's like a potluck dinner, and we eat good, and we also have some fun in the process. And so we want you to come and join us in that. tomorrow night, the Baileys, Alvin and Faye are in charge of it. We know it's going to be great. I think it's lobster and maybe not. But it's going to be great. So sign up if you can come, or just come if you don't feel like signing up. But we'd love for you to come and join us in that. You really get to know people in settings like that. And there's a lot of good people here. So let's get to know each other better and enjoy doing it as well. So now let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got your Bible with you, and let's get into the lesson. Don't forget to greet somebody before you leave here today. Show them your love, because we are family. And let's just act like family. Let's say, good to see you, because it is. So let's get into the lesson now. Let's imagine that somebody from church here, we're talking with them and they say, you know, I'm not at home much anymore at night. And we say, oh, really? Now, I've gotten into this thing called graffiti. I really enjoy getting out late at night with a can of spray paint and writing messages on the wall. Would you be disturbed by that? I mean, they've not been to your neighborhood yet, I assume, but would you say anything to them about that? Would you say, oh, that's not a good thing to do. You shouldn't be doing that. And they respond by saying, the Bible doesn't say it's a sin. I can do it. The Bible doesn't say graffiti is a sin. Well, we would probably respond with some principles from the Bible, like respecting other people's property and the careful use of words and what you say, things like that. And no, graffiti is not addressed in the Bible, but I think we could all agree that's not something a Christian ought to be doing. Well, let's apply that reasoning to gambling. Because there are many people that will say, well, the Bible doesn't say it's a sin. Well, are there principles that are discussed in the Bible that might help us to know whether this is a good or a bad thing to do? And that's what I'm going to argue today. I'm going to say there are principles in the Word of God that we need to think about before we engage in something like this. Because again, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not gamble. Nowhere does it say that or anything like that. But I can show you some principles that would say, you better think again before you get into something like this. So let's ask the question, is gambling a sin? And I may not actually come right out and say the answer to that, but I hope by the time we go through these principles in God's Word, you'll know the answer. So first of all, let's talk about some symptoms. Because again, why are we talking about this? If it's not addressed in the Bible, why even talk about it? Well, I see symptoms of a growing worldwide problem. Symptoms of a growing worldwide problem. Now, first of all, what do we mean by gambling? I think we all understand this, but just to make sure. Gambling is the practice of placing a bet. I'm going to take something of value, often money, or it may be property of some kind, and I'm going to say, I believe so strongly that something is going to happen, I'm willing to wager this valuable thing, whatever it is, and say it's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, then it's yours. I give it up freely. And, you know, that in itself makes you wonder, is that really smart to do something like that? Usually, we're talking about sports. I mean, that's one of the most common forms of gambling. And the idea, again, is I've got my team, you've got your team. We won't discuss particulars right now. We'll wait a couple more weeks for that. And we'll say, you know, my team is better than yours. Oh, no, my team is better. Well, put your money where your mouth is. I'll bet you so much money that my team wins. And if my team doesn't win, goodbye money. It's gone. Does that make a lot of sense? But you know what's behind a lot of gambling is blind luck. Just blind luck. I mean, we're talking about rolling the dice, drawing a card from the deck. We don't know what that card is, but we're going to bet that it's something that will help me have a good hand or whatever it is I'm doing. Or maybe it's where the ball happens to land on that spinning wheel. That's blind luck. And we're saying, I'm gonna put something of value on the outcome of that blind luck. And again, just the common sense of it makes you say, is this something I ought to be doing? Gambling, some people will say, well, you invest in the stock market, don't you? You have securities of one kind or another. That's not the same. Not at all. Because with stocks and bonds, you've got a pretty good idea of what the return will be. It's not like you're saying, you know, I'm going to give you $100 on the 1% chance that I'll get something back. No, no, if it's 1%, I'm not going to give you my $100. It has to be a lot better than that. And so we're not talking about investing. We're talking about wagering and gambling. Now, the reason I think we need to talk about this now is this is a growing problem. And it's creeping up more and more all around us. I mean, near us. Let me give you some evidence of that. In January 2004, the Tennessee Education Lottery began. And that's why you see these lottery tickets at so many of the stores around. And people will pay money to get one of those tickets. And there they are scratching something off, you know, hurriedly thinking, oh, I'm going to get the big one this time. And usually they just throw the card away because they didn't win. But that's been happening for the last 21 years. I like what Fran Lebowitz once said. I don't know if I pronounced her name right. She said, I've done the calculation, and your chances of winning the lottery are identical whether you play or not. Think about that. Let me read it again. Your chances of winning the lottery are identical whether you play or not. Now, if I don't play, I don't win. But on the other hand, maybe I do win because I've still got that money in my pocket. You see, the odds are just large. I mean, the little prizes, you may get some little prizes, but that's not why you play the lottery. You want the big jackpot. But that's not likely to happen, and that's what the point she was making. Here's another evidence, though. On July 1st, 2019, Tennessee became the first state to legalize online sports betting while not having an actual casino in their state. We still don't have one in our state, but we have the distinction of being the first state to legalize online sports betting. Isn't that nice? I mean, plenty of states are doing it, of course. I think there's about 38 now, the number I found as I was doing research. And then on November 14th of last year, a casino opened up just miles away. I mean, we're just talking about 20 miles, less than that probably. And boy, you can really win some big money there, right? I saw a story just yesterday that for last month, their adjusted gross revenue was around $23 million. $23 million in 1 month. Now, you say, well, a lot of people got rich. No, 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 no. We're talking about what they made, what they took in. I don't think they publish any statistics on how much they give out. I think they'd be too embarrassed to do that. But you see, again, the idea is this is all around us, and now it's just everywhere. It's on your cell phone. I mean, some of you could be betting right now. How long is Tim going to preach? Is it going to be over or under? Don't place a bet on me. And if you're doing that, you got a real serious problem. You really do. Here's a quote I found. The American Gaming Association just released a report on the U.S. commercial gaming industry's financial performance for 2023. This is 2023. For the third consecutive year, the commercial gaming industry has set a new revenue record. Total revenue from land-based casino games, sports betting, and iGaming reached $66.52 billion. $66.52 billion for the calendar year, a 10% increase over the previous record set in 2022. That's a lot of money. A lot of money being wagered and very little coming back to anybody that is investing or participating. Now, what I want you also to realize is there is an increase in gambling disorder. An increase in gambling disorder. From the same report that I read from just a moment ago, gambling addiction. Normally we think of addiction only when we're talking about alcohol or drugs. You can be addicted to gambling. as well as pornography and lots of other things as well. But gambling addiction is also hitting an all-time high in the United States. The National Council on Problem Gambling estimates approximately 2 million adults in the U.S. are severely addicted to gambling, and another 4 to 6 million people have mild to moderate gambling problems. Again, I don't know what the criteria are to be included in that group, but that's a lot of people that can't stop. They cannot stop themselves, even though they're losing tons of money. They gotta have more. They gotta have that fix, just like a drug addict. Another site I found said that people in their early 20s are the fastest growing group of gamblers, according to recent research. And many kids are starting younger than that. Nearly two-thirds of adolescents, ages 12 to 18, said they had gambled or played gambling-like games in the previous year, according to a 2018 Canadian survey of more than 38,000 youth. And with all the games that you see on smartphones, on tablets, if they're not gambling, they're trying to get you headed in that direction. They're going to try to open the door eventually so that you're doing just that. The gambling industry holds out the promise that fortunes can be won through their games of chance, but reality shows otherwise. There are some people that win the big one. Stories about those people usually say, "That was the worst thing that could have ever happened to me." Check it out for yourself. Most people that win the lottery, the big lottery, will say, "That was the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life." Most people lose when it comes to gambling, even though gambling says, "Oh, come on, you'll have a better life, a happier life." No. And now let's go to the Bible. You've heard Tim. Let's hear what God says in principles about this idea. So, biblical principles that address gambling. Let's begin with this one. Number one, the need to be responsible stewards. The need to be responsible stewards. You know what a steward is. I'm taking care of something that doesn't belong to me, and at some point I'm going to give it back, at least in as good a condition as they gave it to me, maybe even better. That's a good steward. The Bible has a lot to say, and people will often say, "Well, wait a minute, this is my money. If I want to do that, that's okay with me. It should be okay with you." Think about what God said in Psalm 100, verse 3. Psalm 100, verse 3. And there we find these words: "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Now, what's that say about gambling? Well, it says that it's God's grass. It's not my grass. It's God's grass. And although I may have a job and I work and I earn so much money, ultimately, it belongs to God. And I'm His, He made me, I'm His people. And so nothing I have really ultimately belongs to me. And I wonder, will I ever have to answer for that? In the parable that was read to us earlier in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 24, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 24, you remember this servant who had been serving as a steward to his master, and the time came to have an accounting. And listen again to what Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 24. "When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That is an incredible amount of money. Now, we don't think in terms of talents. It's a whole lot more than $10,000. $10,000, you know, we can make some arrangements and eventually pay it off. $10,000, that was just ridiculous to even think you could even pay that back. And how had he lost that? Did he have a gambling problem? That's one of the most likely solutions to that question. This man had been gambling, which goes way back in time, and now the money's just not there. And did you notice, as the passage went on to say, he not only put himself in jeopardy, but his wife and his children and all that he had were going to be taken away from him. That's what he got for not being a good steward. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, we find this idea about stewardship, and it very much applies to how we look at, you know, excess money that we might have available. Ephesians 4 and verse 28, he begins by talking about people that were thieves. They're no longer thieves. They're Christians. Let the thief no longer steal, but what do we do? Rather, let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. If you're one that is into gambling and has become a problem gambler, and by the way, if you think, well, I'm in control, I'm not ever going to let this get out of hand. Really? I suspect that's what all of these people that are addicted told themselves at one time. It'll never happen to me, but it does often. And so now, here I've got a little extra money after I've paid my bills. I'm trying to earn an honest living. What do I do with it? I'll buy a lottery ticket. I'll go to the casino and have some fun. How about what the Lord expects? The Lord says, so that you may have to share with anyone in need. I'm taking what could be helping someone else, what the Lord wants me to do, and I'm saying, I'm going to take a chance. I'm becoming a millionaire. That's not wise in my thoughts. I think we need to hear what the Lord says. And instead of wasting what the Lord has enabled me to earn, I need to use it in the way that he directs. So we need to be responsible stewards, and that, I think, argues very strongly against gambling. Secondly, here's another principle I want you to think about, and that is deciding which master we will serve. Deciding which master we will serve. I mean, if I take hard-earned money or valuable assets and I say, I'm going to put it up, you know, as a wager, there's a real good chance I may lose it. There's a chance I might get a whole lot more back, but I might lose all of this. What's led me to do that? Who is it, or what is it, that has made me think in that kind of way? Is it because I have a new master? Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, you know this passage. Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Mammon is how the older translations have it. And, you know, we used to think, well, I don't even know what mammon is, so I'm not serving that. But that's what mammon is, money. And it is a fact. There are many people that are devoted to money. And that's why they are willing to wager big amounts with a chance that they're going to lose it, because they want even more. They're serving two masters. Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. Those who desire to be rich. And again, what's behind gambling? I want to be rich. I want to be richer than I am right now. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. In other words, if that is your desire, I mean, what I think about all the time, and it may not be gambling, it may be work. You know, there are workaholics too, who never take time to do the things they need to do. Then you are putting yourself at risk, as well as your loved ones. And that's what Paul said. If you desire to be rich, if you have this craving, then you're headed for a life of misery and heartache and loss. In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, here's a principle that Jesus stated, and we know it very well by the name of the golden rule. Here's how it's stated there. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Now, how does that apply? Let's illustrate that. Let's say that we suggested this morning, we're going to give away $30,000 to somebody here this morning. Oh, does that get your attention? $30,000? Okay, what's it? Well, how does that work? Well, everybody, and we'll just assume there's 300 people in the auditorium right now, everybody is going to put in $100. That would make 30,000, am I right on that? I don't know, I'm not a mathematician. But you know, $30,000, and so what am I hoping at that point? I hope you lose, right? I mean, if I'm in on this, I want you to lose. Well, we're not doing that this morning. But if you gamble, that's what you're thinking. I hope all these other people that have bought lottery tickets, that are playing the slot machines or whatever, I hope they all lose so that I can win and have something really valuable. That's not the golden rule. The golden rule says, I want to help other people because I will need help one day, hopefully not because of gambling, but I'm going to need help and I want people to be able to help me. So that's how I want to be now while I'm able to help. So what master are we serving? Do we listen to the Lord when he gives guidance on how to make decisions? Or do we say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do? Do we have a Lord? Is Jesus our Lord? We do have a Lord, but is Jesus that Lord? And then number three, another principle that we need to consider if we're thinking about gambling, and that is, where is our treasure? Where is our treasure? Those that are into gambling, hooked on gambling, or just like to do it occasionally, their treasure is what? The big payout. I mean, that's why you do it. You don't say, well, these casinos look like they could use some help. I'm going to go make a donation. If you notice the buildings the casinos occupy, mansions, I mean, elaborate, millions of dollars. They don't need your help. And so what we're doing is we're saying, I want a winning. I want something really lucrative. That's why I'm doing it. But the Bible says Christians ought to have their hearts elsewhere. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 21, Luke chapter 12 and verse 21, Jesus had told about a farmer that had hit the jackpot. It wasn't really gambling in his case. He was farming and he had a really good year. And so he said, now what am I going to do with all of this? I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to store all my goods. I'm going to sit back and eat, drink, and relax. I'm going to enjoy my latter life. And God steps in and tells him, you fool. Tonight, your life will be taken from you. And then whose will all these things be? And then Jesus made the application in Luke 12, 21. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself. He lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. One day we'll stand before the judge. Will we be rich? Rich in the world doesn't really matter to God. It's all his anyway. Are you rich toward God? And then combine that with Jesus' words again in Matthew chapter 6, this time verses 19 through 21. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it's not just a question of where is my treasure. It's where's my heart? Is my heart on earth or is my heart in heaven? That's the question. Colossians 3 ought to be one well known to all of us who follow Christ. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2, hear what Paul said about where our hearts are. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And then go down to verse 5, where he goes on to say, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and Covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, I want more. What I have is not enough. I'm going to gamble so that I can have even more. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Where is our treasure? I found this story about a woman named Lisa. Not anybody, any of us know that I'm aware of. Lisa, a single mother of two, turned to online gambling as a way to escape the stress of daily life. What started as a harmless pastime quickly became an addiction. The convenience and anonymity of online gambling made it easy for Lisa to spend hours betting on virtual slot machines and poker games. She lost her job due to her inability to focus and was eventually evicted from her home. Lisa's story illustrates the hidden dangers of online gambling and its potential to lead to severe consequences. That's a true story. And it's not hard to find stories like that when you search on the internet. Could it happen to you or me? Absolutely, it can happen. Things can get really bad. Things can go downhill a lot quicker than we thought. One miscalculated wager and our lives are totally changed from a life of happiness and enjoyment to being hounded by creditors and losing everything. But on the other hand, this is a sure thing. In John 10 and verse 10, where Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly." That they might have life and have it abundantly. It's all around us. Our children know about it. They see it when they're playing on their smartphones or your smartphones or tablets or whatever. It's going to affect a lot of us. And I'd be naive if I thought this hasn't affected anybody in this room this morning. I dare say it has. But it doesn't have to. If we listen to God, follow his principles, we can have that abundant life. So is Jesus your Lord? Is Jesus your Lord? If not, you can make him your Lord by obeying the gospel. Dan already mentioned the baptistry is ready, and that's ready if you believe he is the Son of God. If you're ready to turn away from sin by repenting of it, confessing before others, and say, "I want to do what Jesus said to do, and that is to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins," then we're ready to help you. And then you'll walk with him the rest of your life faithfully. And even if along the way you are not faithful and you fall back into sin, he's still willing to forgive. If you repent of that sin and pray for forgiveness, can we help you? Come as we stand together and sing.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be singing hymn number 922. 922.
Does anyone have need of one of the Lord's Supper cups? We have some brothers in the back that will happily come bring them. Just raise your hand now. They'll happily come bring them. And if you would, go ahead and prepare the bread and get it out and prepare the cup and have everything ready to go. That way we can remain focused on what we're here to focus on. If you would, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, picking up at verse 23. It reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given the thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup.'" If you would, go over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, "Examine ourselves." Examine ourselves. What are we examining ourselves against? Of course, it's the written word of God. Of course, it's the standard that he put in place. But something that was in my mind was Galatians 2:20. Something that we need to examine ourselves constantly on. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So are we examining ourselves? Are we crucified also? Are we crucifying our daily lives? Are we crucifying ourselves and sacrificing to be close to Christ? Putting away the flesh putting on the Spirit. Something to examine ourselves on. Let's give thanks for the bread. Heavenly Father, as we come before you now, thanking you for the sacrifice that your Son gave, Father, we come now in remembrance of that sacrifice. Father, we ask that you bless this bread that represents his body that was given on the cross for us. Father, as we partake of it, we ask that we do so in a manner that is worthy unto you. We love you, Father, and we thank you for loving us. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Let's now give thanks for the cup. Heavenly Father, as we come before you again, asking you to bless this fruit of the vine, this grape juice, Father, that represents the blood that your Son freely gave on the cross. Father, we know that it seals us in the new covenant and brings us into unity and fellowship with you. Father, as we partake of it now, bless it, Father, as we proclaim your Son's death until he comes again. It's in Christ's name. Let's give thanks for the offering. Heavenly Father, as we shift focus now from the offering that you gave, the offering that your Son gave on behalf of us to bring us into unity with you, we now move to the offering of what we can give now, Father, here on this earth. Father, we ask as we give our monetary, Father, and our means, Father, that you accept it with blessings. Accept it and bless us, Father, with more, that we can continue to do more work for you here on this earth, Father. Father, bless us throughout this week. Give us opportunity to serve you, to spread your word and bring your word to those that need it most. Father, give us strength, give us wisdom and direction as we go about our daily lives. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Father and God, as we come before you just now, we ask for forgiveness of sin. We pray, dear God, that once again you would wash our garments with the blood of this cross, that it may be white raiment, dear God, and that through this wonderful plan of salvation we may find acceptance in your sight. We come to you on behalf of every family represented here today. The needs, dear God, some were aware of and some were not, I'm sure, are great. We pray, dear God, for those that are facing medical challenges, the loss of loved ones, those who are struggling emotionally, those, dear God, who are struggling financially, those who are struggling with their addictions and temptations. We lift this up to you just now, Father. We pray for the health of this congregation. We pray for the children and these families as school has started back. We ask for the blessings of safety for these children. We pray, dear God, that they would be protected from harm and those that would do evil to children. We pray, dear God, for those that are sick and have asked and requested for the prayers of the church, that we would not fail to lift them up in prayer and that we would serve them indeed and serve them in prayer, so that they might be lifted up as our brothers and sisters. We ask for the blessings of safe travels. We soon leave this place. This prayer offered in Christ's name. Amen. If you haven't recorded your attendance yet today, we'd ask that you use the card in front of you there that's on the back of the pew to do that. We also have a computer set up at the visitor station. We like to, especially if you're a visitor, and especially if you're a member, you're one of those two. So we would like to ask you to please record your visit with us here today. Also, I refer you to the bulletin Please support our pantry. Over the last couple of weeks, our pantry needs have gotten to be very strong indeed. As we provide these food boxes to members of the community, please remember our pantry to support that. The fifth Sunday youth-led service will be on the evening of Sunday, August 31st. Please let Josh know if your son would like to participate. The Digging Deep meeting for Monday the 25th is canceled. We will do an introduction for the new study on Wednesday the 27th at 5:30. We are not sure which room we will be in, so that will be announced at a later date. Please sign up to provide meals for the 708 College devotionals. The sign-up sheet is on the message board outside the auditorium, and welcome to our 708 returnees. Some are here this morning. 55 Plus dinner meeting tomorrow evening at 6. Please sign up if you plan to attend. Retired Men's Breakfast meeting is Tuesday at 9 a.m. Again, please sign up for planning purposes if you plan to attend. The family of Ralph, father of Brenda, this family are mourning his passing on Friday afternoon. The family will receive friends on Tuesday, August the 19th, from 1 to 2 at the Kaiser Rose Hill Funeral Home in Greenville. A funeral service will follow at 2. An all-church fellowship meal is being planned on Sunday, August the 31st, after morning worship. Please make your plans to attend, as we will enjoy another time of good food and heartwarming fellowship. Molly has a new neighbor. She's a PhD student who has no furniture, no family in the United States to provide support. She needs the following items: sofa, microwave, dining set, vanity, and maybe a TV. If you have any of these items that you'd be willing to donate, please speak with Molly today. Helpers are needed. We are in need of a few more volunteers to help with the monthly meals at the Daily Reporting Center, the DRC. If you can prepare cookies, brownies, or assist with the meals, please contact Sherry. Jim Bob was discharged from the hospital yesterday and is now resting at home. He was admitted Wednesday for extremely low blood levels. Please remember this family in your prayers. Nita, John McKinnis's sister, is on two medications to help in response to her stage 4 breast cancer. The family has requested the prayers of this congregation. Retta, a member of the Marstown Church of Christ and longtime friend of Ann and Doug Booten, is dealing with some very serious liver issues. The Bootons have asked that we remember this family in prayers. I can't begin to express to my central family how truly humbled I've been by your uplifting prayers and encouragement during my recent surgical biopsy and resulting diagnosis. My melanoma has reoccurred after almost 6 years in remission. My medical team recommends that I pursue a course of immunotherapy treatments, and I have had the first treatment of this series. Nancy and I ask that you continue to keep us in your hearts and prayers, that our Heavenly Father will provide strength and physical healing during these difficult health challenges. Larry and Nancy. Leland.
In September, with the help of the 7-8th group and some of our teenagers, we will be again developing our blessing bags that we'll be handing out to those that are less fortunate than we are. Some of the things we need from the congregation here to donate and bring to church are Beanie Weenies, Vienna sausages, Slim Jims, packs of nuts, protein or granola bars, and then snack crackers that are peanut butter or cheese, and then a small water. This is the third or fourth year we've done this. If you need any more details about what this involves, come and ask me or Robin, and we'll be happy to go into more detail and show you what we do. Any other announcements? You're dismissed.